This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Yesterday, the SAJBD issued a press statement calling for the Constitutional Court to replace President Cyril Ramaphosa as the host for the National Dialogue. Why? To tell me more, I have Wendy Kahn, National Director, as my guest. But, Wendy, at some level, it is extremely ironic that we're having this conversation on Mandela Day. So before we get into the tachlis of it, let's just talk about Mandela Day. And I know that Biyachat this morning was a hive of activity with everybody going off in different directions to do something.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I have to say about our community is that, you know, the criticism is always that Mandela Day is one day of the year and what happens the rest of the year. And I have to say about the Jewish community that there is so much going on in outreach in our country. In fact, last year we published a book called Jubuntu, which was the second volume of our book on outreach initiatives. We actually have copies at the board if anybody's interested. It is phenomenal and so exciting to see the kind of diverse initiatives that all the different organizations in our community are involved with. And as you say, today we arrived at work and the one combi was going out to Mama Lodi for the JNF and other people were arriving for our initiative, and it's really exciting. Yeah, so you want to just chat a little bit about ours. We did two initiatives this year. You know, I think back over the years, all the wonderful Mandela Days we've done, where we've gone out to Kagiso and we've gone out to Boksburg. We really celebrated the day and the values that Nelson Mandela stood for. Today, we had an amazing man come into our offices, Venner, and he's involved in going into really, really disadvantaged communities and finding sporting gems and giving them an opportunity to be taken in by the big clubs, get educational opportunities from schooling to high school, entrepreneurial opportunities around the sporting events, people to sell different food items. It was just so incredible. And I know you're going to be doing a show with him.
I'm
not going to go into too much more detail.
I think there's an interesting story there behind, backstory there as well.
Yeah, so we really wanted to give soccer balls and different, really support his entrepreneurial training schools, and just really a special. And I look forward to hearing the interview with him. We also engaged with Dr. Efrat Barnes from the Barnes World, and she is at the Teddy Bear Clinic. We donated the most magnificent 67 teddy bears, and it was really special. She sent us pictures from the facilities at Charlotte Makeke Hospital, and it's an organization that we really at the Jewish Board will be getting much more involved in.
Fantastic. Now, from one president to another.
Yeah. So today we're celebrating the values of Nelson Mandela. And he really stood for unity, I just remember how, you know, in those years, it's interesting, there was also lots of going on about Iran, and there was very similar issues to what we're dealing in some ways, similar issues to what we're dealing with. And he spent so much time with the Jewish Board of Deputies, and our leadership at the time was Marlene Bethlehem, and sitting down with them and having discussions. And yes, they disagreed. They disagreed on many things. They disagreed on the Israeli-Palestinian issue. But that didn't stop the conversations and it didn't stop the dialogue. In fact, Mandela went to Israel. And again, it wasn't that he complete, you know, he could hear the story from both sides, but he listened to both sides. And that's what we're not getting today. We have been totally shut out by the current president. He hasn't included us in interfaith initiatives. He has excluded, he and his government, well, not his government, because now we have a government of national unity, but the ANC have really tried to silence a lot of our community. And of course, you know, we're coming very fresh from the abandonment of South African citizens who were in Israel during the Iran strikes on civilian targets in Israel. And we remember that those people were abandoned by our government. There was no consular assistance at all. So this is a president who doesn't want to engage.
I think for me, like, the turning point was October the 7th, 2003, when we as South African Jews were looking to our leadership to condemn the attack and to stand with the Jewish community. And what we saw was our government come out in kafirs. So I think that for me was like, okay, that was really an eye-opener. And like, what has happened that Hamas has become more important to South Africa than
South African Jews?
Yes.
And I think for me, you hit the nail on the head. That was an incredibly painful time. And I think I'm going to use the word abandonment again, because I think we were abandoned in our town. I have such vivid memories of going and chatting with certain government ministers at the time and sharing the pain of our community and my own personal pain, my own personal stories. And he turned around to me and said, noted. That has made it very clear. In fact, I don't even think we are noted. So yes, we've got to that point now. And so that is when this is the president who is leading an initiative of a national dialogue. A national dialogue is a conversation on the future of our community. What should the priorities of our community be? Who should our community be talking to? Where should we be spending resources? These are critical, critical conversations. And we need to put together leadership of that initiative that are going to be consistent with the values of a national dialogue, and President Ramaphosa does not represent those values.
Wendy, so many people have come out either for or against the dialogue, and I've just read some editorials in the Mail and Guardian, for example, today about how much cynicism South Africa has, and there have been criticisms around the costs of the dialogue. There have been cynicism, or the DA have pulled out of the dialogue. There's so much that people are arguing against, but that's not what we're saying. We're saying,
no,
we can and should be having a dialogue, but we have to have leadership in place for that dialogue to be inclusive. And based on the fact that we haven't been included, we are feeling a little bit.
Well, I'm not sure about, you know, we will always talk. We are a community that believes in dialogue, and we will participate in some way in this national dialogue. But I think what's really important is that one of the principles in the briefing document of this national dialogue is the principle of inclusivity. Inclusivity. That means that when you are choosing the leadership, you need to choose people that are going to embrace that value of inclusivity. And what we found extraordinary is that when President Ramaphosa selected his they called the Eminent Persons Group. I mean, what a pretentious title. The Eminent Persons Group. He chose somebody like Imtiaz Suleiman, who, let's be honest, has really been the face of this entire national day. I mean, when you look through the media, when you look, his is the photo next to a beaming President Ramaphosa. He has been the face of this national dialogue.
Absolutely. He's been the spokesperson, actually.
Absolutely. And he's had his press conferences outside the national dialogue. I mean, it's really become his initiative. So when you choose somebody like that, and that is somebody who has actually come out in pure anti-Semitic comments against our community, how do you select someone like that to be an eminent person?
Shall I read what was said?
I'd really appreciate
that. I will do that for you. Okay, so this is taken off a Salam Media video on the 5th of October 2024. Every time we protested, the Zionists were too clever. They were arrogant, acting with impunity. They put fear into you. They put fear into corporate corporations, into universities, into communities, into governments, into political parties, into associations. They run the world with fear. They control the world with money. And every time you say something, they terrify you and they say it's anti-Semitic.
Now, that is like taken straight out of the protocols of the Elders of Zion. It is really the most classic anti-Semitic. Jews run the world. Jews run the banks. Jews run the universities. Jews run the world.
And then they weaponized
the anti-Semitism when they called out for it. So I think we just need to make, you know, he's very, Imtiaz Suleiman uses the word Zionist, and that's the kind of a code word for Jew now, because, you know, it's used.
I think we all know,
but I think we just need to make it very clear, and we made it very clear in our press statement, that according to the Kaplan survey, and Kaplan Center is in the University of Cape Town, so it's an academic survey, they did a, one of the questions was, do you have a connection with Israel? And 96% of South African Jews said, yes, we have a connection to Israel. Different levels of connection, some weak, some very strong, mostly very strong, but 96% of Jews have a connection, whether it's we've got family there, we've got, it's our biblical homeland, it's our heritage, it's our religious homeland, we pray every, whatever it is. We have a connection to Israel, and we're allowed to. We live in a constitutional democracy, and that provides us with freedom of religion, freedom of belief, freedom of association, and that is what we're entitled to. So Dr. Suleiman might not be a Zionist, and he might not have a connection to Israel, and that's fine, and I respect that. But he, likewise, should respect my right as a Jew to have that connection.
Wendy, it's not the only thing that he said, and I'm going to try and find the other quote, because I think it's important that we understand that in a week where that started off with our president removing the Minister of Police, when our crime situation is so incredibly, there's so little trust in the police at the moment. I mean, that was also in all the media today, how few South Africans trust the police system, and we've just had our minister removed.
Yeah,
I think it might be interesting to read this quick quote.
I think before you read it, mm-hmm. I just would like to say that one of the other principles, because we've studied this briefing document extremely carefully, we spoke about the principle of inclusivity, but there's another principle of this national dialogue, that it's around accountability. And that's really, really important, that we're looking to the future to create a national dialogue that is going to look for people that are going to be accountable and law-abiding. And that's why it's so problematic. And are you going to read the other statement that he made?
This is from Hillel TV, 7th of October, 2024.
It's
Hillel. Not Hillel. Well, we are cousins.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a quote, direct quote. I don't follow international law or human law. I don't need any permission from anybody in the world to tell me what to do. I break the laws all the time. Now, that is certainly not what we want as the face of our national dialogue.
Absolutely not. And it's extremely problematic. We're living in a society where we have such a, you know, we are fighting so hard to uphold the police services, to uphold our law and order, and create and turn around this country into something that we all feel secure and safe in. So I do think that's a very disturbing message, and we've raised those issues. We want people on the eminent persons group to be people that reflect our constitution, and we want our president to be selecting, or the head, the patron.
Exactly. We don't want our president to be the patron.
So the patron of this national dialogue needs to be somebody who is selecting eminent people that are going to represent those the framework of our constitution in looking forward. And that's why we have questioned whether President Ramaphosa is the right person to be making those selections. Is he the right person to be the patron? We don't think so. And whether it's the Constitutional Court, and we put forward the Constitution, whether it is the Constitutional Court, whether it's Parliament, whether it's any other grouping, that's not the issue. The issue is to find a structure that we are going to have trust in, that's got credibility, and that's who we need to look to be forming this national dialogue.
You know, we started off talking about the Mandela Day and how the Jewish community have been involved in outreach. And I think it's also a good point to talk about Jewish contribution to South Africa throughout, since the establishment of South Africa, the huge contribution that Jews have made. And I bring it up because it's so easy to kind of like scapegoat certain communities, and we've seen it more and more and more. And it just aligns, like we get xenophobia, we get the anti-Semitism. I think it was last week I spoke to Alana, who is not only our president of the Jewish Board KwaZulu-Natal Council, but she's also sits on HIAS. And the instigation of that is taking place in our country at the moment is quite worrying. And actually, our community, together with others, can have an impact, and we want to.
And we really have. And I think, you know, I think back, you've mentioned the, I mean, for me, one of the low points of my time in this position has been when we had the xenophobia, 2008, 2009. It was absolutely, it was horrific. I remember we were together with other groups in our community. I mean, that was the highlight, was to see everybody from the Union of Jewish Women to Habonim to everybody came together, and we went to those horrific, those police stations which were acting as shelters, and we went out to the camps, and it was such a heartbreaking time, but we were there. We were there. And when Boksburg explosion on Christmas Day a few years ago, our community was there, and we didn't just leave. We stayed there, and we made sure that the burials took place and that families identified their loved ones, and that there was we provided psychological support for people. It wasn't that we ran in and when the cameras were there. We stayed. We stayed and made sure that that community was back on their feet before we left. And I think during COVID, you know, I think of literally every single province. We were working there. We were identifying NGOs that we could work with. We had a massive, massive fund. We were so blessed by a generous donor. And it was literally huge sums of money that we were able to go and work with responsibly with NGOs on projects that came to the party when people were literally starving, but after that helped them build themselves up and pick themselves up and move along. And we still got relationships with many of those NGOs to this day.
Which I actually think is another good point for us to discuss now, is that while we often feel kind of angry and grumpy with our government, we have to stress that I certainly don't think that the majority of South Africans hate either Jews or Israel. In fact, I would say that South Africa has a huge respect for different religions.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sorry, I've probably told the story here, and I'll tell it a million different times. And I tell it whenever I speak at overseas conferences. And I'm going to tell it again, because for me, it was such an aha moment. And that was when we did it was literally maybe 2 months after 7 October. And we went and did the hostage event on Nelson Mandela Bridge. We backed to Nelson Mandela and the principles of unity. And we went then, we were terrified what was going to happen to us. It was early morning, and we were going to run out with our balloons and our pictures of the hostages and put them on the bridge, take the photographs, make the point, and get out of there. And what we experienced from people who were walking to university, and they were walking to their jobs, and they were walking to school, and they walked past each of these photographs, and they knelt down, and they had tears in their eyes. And I get tears in my eyes every time I tell the story. And they came to us, and they hugged us, and there were little prayer groups that started, and people said, can we come and help you this afternoon? And we left up those posters the entire day, and not one of those posters were torn down. And that's like, you know, when you look at the rest of the world, I mean, there were very, very few posters, you know, around the world. They were being torn and vandalized. But in the middle of Johannesburg on Nelson Mandela Bridge, those posters stood and they stayed, and people were so empathetic. And that's the story. And that's what I tell when I go around the world, because it's not the case everywhere else in the world. Around the world, there is hatred and hostility and really tough times.
And in kind of wrapping up then, Wendy, although we haven't, I think, 1 or 2 minutes, but just to wrap up why we fight as the board so hard against this divisiveness. And I think that's, in a way, the point we're trying to make as well. South Africans are actually really good people, and there's this orchestrated hate that people like Imtiaz Suleiman bring in and create is what we want to fight, and that is why we brought out the statement.
Absolutely, and we are not saying, like other groups, we are not going to participate in this dialogue. No. We are saying this is how we can make this dialogue better. We can have people that are inclusive, people that want to talk, people who want to just see a better South Africa and a better future for all of us.
Maybe we should take control. But thank you very much for coming in, Wendy.
Thank you, Charisse, and Shabbat Shalom.
Thanks, Shabbat Shalom. That Wendy Kahn, National Director of the Jewish Board of Deputies, and we are talking about the statement that we brought out yesterday in response to the National Dialogue and Imtiaz Suleiman being appointed an eminent person.